You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 48. This is going to be good. You're going to love it. Hallelujah. We're still teaching along the lines of biblical finance. Everybody say biblical finance. What I mean by that, of course we're going to get into prosperity, but I think sometimes we share prosperity and we give the impression that you can give your way out of debt or you can tithe your way out of debt. And really, that's not true. What giving does and what tithing does is get blessing on what you do. But if you don't handle your finances correctly after you give and after you tithe, you can go under tithing. Now, that went over like a lead balloon. But, I mean, stay with me on this. You got to learn to budget. You got to learn to take care of your finances. You need to learn to balance your checkbook. Oh, no. You got to learn to balance your checkbook and find out what you have in your account and those kinds of things. Learn to pay your bills. Check, see what you've got coming in. If your outgo is bigger than your income, it'll be your downfall. Hello. And you can say, I'm believing God. Well, no, wait a minute. God works through us. I wish sometimes He'd just work around us, but no, He works through us. Are you with me? And so in the Bible, we have a lot of information about things like that. I mean, He doesn't get down to specifics on what stock to buy or what real estate to buy or what job to work on. But, I mean, He talks about work in general, that it's a good thing. He talks about investing, that's a good thing. He talks about borrowing and cosigning. Cosigning, bad thing. And the Bible says, bad thing. Stay with me. We've got to use wisdom in some of these areas. And savings, good thing. That's a good thing. Some people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm standing on a word. I don't save anything. I just live from day to day. Well, the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I mean, don't let your grandkids wake up one day and say, wow, I'm living off grandfather's faith now. Because he didn't leave me anything, you know. Stay with me. There's nothing wrong with directing your money. No, you can't take your money with you when you go, but you can tell it where to go before you leave. Mm-hmm. So from the Word, we see here, now, stay with me. You better tithe and you better give. You can't say, well, I won't tithe and I won't give. I'll just work. Well, the problem with just working and budgeting and saving all those things and leaving out tithing and giving is you leave out the blessing of God on your work. And you leave out the anointing and the blessing of the favor of God on your business and on your job and so on and so forth. So one doesn't replace the other. You just need to live a good, balanced Christian life. That's true in any area. I mean, if I were going to be, I've seen people that just love to pray. They just pray. They pray. They're intercessors, as it were. And you know what? They got a great prayer life. Everything's rolling there. But they're in balance in other areas because they don't know anything about the Word in other areas of their life. They're developed in one area, so they become in balance. See, prayer does not take the place of living holy. It doesn't. You just can't undo holiness with prayer. If I pray enough, I can undo it. And prayer does not take the place of studying the Word. Doesn't take the place of going to church. See, you say, well, I don't go to church, but I pray every day. Well, I'm glad you're praying, but you need to go to church because the Bible says go to church. It says assemble yourselves together, you know, and so on and so forth. So no one thing overrides other things. So here we are. We're teaching on biblical finance. I get tickled. Some people visit in the middle of what we're teaching on, middle of a seminar, and they walk away and says, all they teach down there is whatever they heard me teach the one time they visited. Well, you have to come other times to get the balance of what we teach. We're going to talk a lot about prosperity. Absolutely. I am a prosperity preacher. I do believe in prosperity. But I don't believe that's the only thing in the Bible. It happens to be what we're teaching on right now. Are you with me? And I believe the devil has robbed the church of God, robbed Christians, robbed you and robbed me with this false piety or this false humility or idea that God wants us poor. God does not want you poor. God wants to bless you. Amen. Far above you could even ask or imagine, more than you could even dream. Hello. But He does it through you. He does it. He uses you to do that. He does it as your heart's right. He does it as you're obeying Him. He does it as you do what He says. So it doesn't fall out of heaven. It actually moves through you and others. In fact, the Bible, Jesus said this, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your bosom. So God uses people and uses jobs and uses things to bless us. And that's all well and good. What we need to do is get some wisdom from God to do our part. Amen? And we don't want to prosper just to prosper. We don't want to get blessed just to be blessed. We want to prosper so we can be a blessing. We want to prosper so we can advance the kingdom. We want to give more. We want to help more. We want to build more. So let's keep our heart right. Let's, as God was saying earlier when I said, right before we, right after the song service, God wants a passionate people. He wants a people who are hungry for Him. He's a jealous God. Now, He's not going to share His worship with money, okay? Not going to happen. You can't love money. You got to love God.
Right.
But if you love God, you can have money.
Right.
And you can't serve God and serve money. No, you serve God and you make money serve you.
That's right.
Don't you serve, don't you work for the almighty dollar. You work for almighty God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. And then don't you trust money. You trust God. But if God has your love and your service and your trust, well, you can have all the money in the world. My goodness. He wants to bless you with it. He said He would. He's the one that put the carrot on the stick. Okay? Except this carrot, you can reach it. You can gobble this one up. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. So, where did I tell you to turn? Isaiah. Yeah. I'm way ahead of myself. Isaiah. I'm so far ahead of myself, I can turn around and see myself coming. Okay. We'll think about that. Isaiah 48:17. We ended up on this one, and I closed out the other night on this out of New King James Version. 17 verse says, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit." Everybody say, teaches you to profit. Okay. Isn't that significant? It doesn't say necessarily that God just profits us or God just blesses us, but it says He teaches us to profit. He teaches us to profit. Yeah, a couple of you got it. He teaches us to profit.
Amen.
See, He teaches us. So we have to be listening and learning and doing what He says in order to prosper or profit. Amen? In that case. So as we hear what He's saying, as we follow the principles of the Bible, as we obey God in our lives, then we will prosper. We will prosper by our decisions. We will prosper by our actions. By good sense, good business sense, as it were, good principles of finance, by budgeting, by savings, so on and so forth, by watching our finances and keep getting a grip on our finances, as it were, tithing and giving, but also watching our finances, not going out and buying every little thing or be little I see. Hello, not just accumulating stuff, you know. No, we're going to prosper as we listen to what God has to say to us. And use wisdom. That's good. Because He teaches us to profit. It doesn't say He profits us. He says He teaches us to profit. Now, of course, He loads us with His benefits. We know that. We know He delights in our prosperity. Psalms 35:27 says, "Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say that the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." It pleases God when you prosper.
Amen.
Now, a lot of reasons why that is. First of all, you're His child and He loves you and He wants to bless you. It also means you've been listening to Him, because if you're listening to Him, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you're obeying Him, because He's teaching you to do it, and the more you obey Him, the more He's pleased with obedience. He's pleased with you doing what He says. He's pleased with you using wisdom in your life and in your finances. So He teaches us to profit. So we get in the Word and we hear things that we need to implement in our lives, things that we need to do in our lives, adjustments we need to make. Now listen, if you're going around criticizing people, you know from the Word you've got to quit that.
That's right.
Isn't that true? You've got to quit. You've got to stop that. That's wrong. In fact, that's not just bad for everybody else. That's bad for you. That'll hurt you in the long run. And there's nothing really selfish about this, but the point is, if you will obey God, you will be better. Some people could say you're being greedy and selfish. You know, I love you not because I love you, because I love me. You have to think about that one. Some people say you're being selfish by obeying God, but really the best thing for you is to obey God. The best thing for you is to forgive others. The best thing for you is to go love others. The best thing for you is to go help others. I mean, it's a backwards way of looking at it. Some people would call that lust and greed and selfishness. I don't know how you could get that out of it. But in one sense, yes, it does benefit me. Because every time you do anything good, it benefits you, according to the Bible. So if you have any sense at all, you'll quit criticizing people, quit hating people, quit holding bitterness toward people. And you'll start praying for people, loving people. And you know what will happen? You'll be better for it. Now, finances are the same way. If you do what God says to do, then you will be blessed financially. No question about it. You know, I mean, and the goal is, of course, we want to be blessed. We want to be a blessing. You know, but you've got to obey God in order for that to happen. Just like you got to quit hating people. You got to quit being bitter toward people. You got to quit just putting yourself first all the time. You got to help others and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? You need to tithe. You need to give. You need to watch your finances. You need to budget. You need to save. And you ought to be believing God about investments too. You know, let God help you in that area. You know, you can do it. Everybody can do it. I don't care what stage you're at. But you have to pray. God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Because the Lord teaches us to profit. Amen? And it says, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. In other words, he tells you what to do. He leads you in the path you should go in. Now, you have to obey it. And as you do, you'll prosper. Oh, that you had heeded or hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The Amplified says, this is good. Amanda brought this out the other night after church, after I preached. She said, oh, you should have read that in Amplified. And I said, well, I can. I can still do it. Jesus tarries, I'll do it Sunday. And here I am. Yeah. It says in Amplified, oh, that you'd heed my commands. Then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river.
Wow.
Really, that word in the Hebrew there, where it's peace, that actually means prosperity. Shalom, peace on you. That's prosperity, and that's not just peace of mind. That's blessing. That's prosperity. So when does the peace and the prosperity flow like a river in our lives? When we heed His commandments. Woo! This is not man's financial plan. This is God's financial plan. This is biblical finance. Are you with me? And as we heed those commandments, the Bible says He will teach us to profit and to prosper. And our peace and our prosperity will flow like a river. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like having the peace that comes from no debt. Peace from come from no bill collectors calling you all the time. There is a peace that comes from them. And God wants you to be there. Amen. He wants you to be in that position. Turn over to Deuteronomy 8. Here's another familiar passage of Scripture. This is where God's telling them, He's bringing them out of the children of, bringing the children of Israel out of the wilderness and bringing them into the Canaan land. And He's talking to them a little bit here and explaining some things to them that they need to get a hold of. He's telling them what's going to happen to them when they get out there in the Canaan land. Because if you obey God and you follow Him and you take His lead, He is going to bless you. No question about it. Just got to guard your heart. That's all. You just guard your heart. Because if you do what God says to do, you will be blessed.
Amen.
You will be blessed if you do what God says to do. And don't say now, don't point that old bony finger at God and say, well, I did everything to do and I ain't got anything. I doubt seriously if that's the case. You say, well, I tithe. Well, that's one thing He said to do. What about the rest of the stuff? I'm not being mean here. That finger goes to me too. You know, dumb decisions, buy things I didn't need, didn't watch my money, hello, so on and so forth. And what we need to do is clean that up and say, well, you know, that's not right. I'm going to get back here. I'm going to obey God here with the rest of the money I keep. Now, we've obeyed God, say, in the tithe, but we hadn't always obeyed God with the money we keep.
That's true. Amen.
And God has a lot to say about the money we keep.
Yeah.
Are you out there?
Amen.
I mean, a simple thing like cosigning, which, you know, we'll get into some of these things in more detail. You know, we've probably all done it, and it's probably been a bad deal. We could probably just have the rest of the day, everybody testifying how they got burnt on cosigning. And did you know the Bible said don't do it? And we did it anyway. I've had people ask me for a cosign. And I just tell them, I said, listen, I love you, but I'd be disobeying God if I cosigned for you. And then I take them to the Scripture. It says, don't cosign. And it's several times in the Bible, mostly in Proverbs. If you want to get into finance, Proverbs deals with a lot of it. You know, it's kind of like, a cosign's kind of like that guy. He worked for another guy, and this farmer, and he came to him, and he says, I went down to the bank, borrow some money, and the banker said that they wouldn't loan me the money, but they told me that if I'd get you, Farmer Brown, to come sign the note, that they'd loan me the money. And Farmer Brown says, oh, well, I understand that. Well, you just go back down to the bank and you tell them that if they'll sign the note, I'll loan you the money.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Joe didn't get his money. Hello. Okay, enough of that. But anyway, see, God talks about things like that. He talks about borrowing. He talks about investing. Talks about saving. Talks about budgeting. That's in the Bible? That's all through the Bible. Some of the parables Jesus used had something, many of them, 16 of the 38 parables he spoke, had something to do with money matters. And boy, we need to listen up. You know, we often think of spirituality is like praying and prophesying, laying hands on sick and preaching. But you know, being spiritual is doing the Word. Handling finances is a spiritual thing if you do it scripturally. Wow, what's so spiritual about budgeting? Well, God gave Joseph a 14-year budgeting and savings plan that saved the whole nation of Egypt and the whole nation of Israel. And you, listen, all that was a budgeting and savings plan that they honored, and they stuck to the rules. And in the good year when they had abundance, they set back a certain amount of that every single year because they knew that famine was coming. And they stuck to the budget. They didn't build any more pyramids that year. Hello. They took that money and set it aside and set it aside and set it aside. And then when the famine came, they were able to make it for 7 years. And all of Israel was able to make it because of it. So there's a supernatural budget and savings plan that God came up with that they obeyed. And sure, it came through a dream. Yeah, it was supernatural the way it came. But you know, the way it was applied was very practical. It was a very practical thing. The dreaded budget word. But it's no big deal. It's just telling your money where to go as opposed to wondering where it went. Okay, you out there? Where did all the money go? You know, at the end of the month, you go, my Lord, what happened to all my money? Well, I can tell you spent it. How did I do that? Well, see, that's just it. You don't know. Without a budget, you don't have a clue, see, what you've done. And if you have a budget, you can control that money. You can tell it where to go, as opposed to wondering where it went at the end of the month. All right, okay. Y'all found Deuteronomy 8? I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I'm throwing out little teasers and, I'm trying to wet your whistle to come back in the rest of these sessions. Deuteronomy 8:18. Well, let's back up. Goodness gracious. This is where they came out of the wilderness, and God's telling them they're going to be blessed. Look at the 10th verse. When you have eaten and you are full, and then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Don't you ever forget when you prosper that God's the one behind it. God has blessed you. God's been good to you. And you give Him the glory and you give Him the honor. Amen? Don't you start that, I'm a self-made man. I worked my fingers to the bone. Well, maybe you did, but it was God that gave you your fingers and the bones in your fingers. Beware, 11th verse, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today. You keep these statutes. You keep these judgments. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. See, this is going to happen. God will bless you with this. He said He would. In fact, if you follow Him and you keep His commandments, God will prosper you. And you'll eat and you'll be full. That's the thing I always hate about a diet. I just eat, never get full. They always say you eat all you want, but they tell you which things you can eat. And those kind of things never fill you up. That's why I think God's against diets. I think really if you... No, now wait a minute. Stay with me. Okay. Lest when you have eaten and are full, you built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. He's saying this is going to happen. I just want you to guard your heart when it does. I want you to be cautious when it does happen. He doesn't say when it happens, give it all away because it's going to ruin you. He said, just keep your heart right and watch your attitude and remember where it all came from. Amen. Hello? When your heart, then your heart's lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. That's what you've got to be aware of and that's what you've got to be cautious of. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water forth out of a flinty rock. Wow. I love this next verse. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that He might humble you, that He might test you or prove you to do you good in the end. Now see, here's how God tests and proves. Here's how God humbles. How? By supernaturally meeting your need where there's no other way it could have happened. He didn't meet their need by starving them. He didn't meet their need by killing them. He met their need by providing for them where they couldn't have got it any other way. He proved them. He tested them so they would see and know that it is God. If God's got to bring water out of rock, He'll do it. If He's got to drop man out of heaven, He'll do it. If you obey God, no matter what's going on in the world, if you'll keep His commandments, He'll make sure you prosper when nobody else does. He'll make sure you make it, as long as you're doing what God says to do. Now that proves, that's humbling to me. Humbling to me is to know that when I cannot make it any other way, God comes through. I'm doing all I know to do, God. I'm doing everything I know to do with all I've got. And God says, I see that, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make sure you make it. But that's humbling because I know I need God. How does God humble us? By bringing water out of a rock. How does God humble us? By bringing manna out of heaven. How does God humble us? When 1,000 fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, we still stand it. How does God humble us? By destroying us? No, by meeting our need. By starving? No, by feeding us. How does He humble us? By us being thirsty? No, by giving us water. When you couldn't have got it any other way. So let's don't get confused about God humbling and proving. When He humbles and proves, He proves He's God, and He proves His love for us, and He proves He can meet our need when no one else can. That's how God humbles and proves us. He didn't say, I humbled you and proved you by starving you. I humbled you and proved you by bringing you water out of rock. By bringing you man out of heaven. And I'll tell you, you can go everywhere in the world you want to go, try to find out how to make money. You need to go to God.
Amen.
What you need to do. You can put everything in the world first, but you better put God first. Y'all getting something? I'm getting something here, okay? I got my T.D. Jake pants on. I am getting something. You're not listening to me. So, that being said, this is what you've got to watch. 17th verse. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. No. Yeah, there are some things you've got to do. Yes, there are some principles you need to obey. But let's understand this one thing. It is God that blesses us. It is God that told us what to do. And it's God that instructed us. And He's the one that owns cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the silver and gold is His. And if you remember anything, remember this next verse, 18th verse. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth.
Amen.
Wow. Power to get wealth. Why? That He may establish His covenant. God wants to bless us. But He wants us to know where the blessing comes from. And He wants us to obey Him. And He wants us to praise Him. And He wants us to continually give Him the glory. Amen? In every case, He wants to do that. But make no mistake about it. God wants to bless us. And He'll move heaven and earth to bless us if we'll trust Him. He'll bring water out of a rock and man out of heaven if it takes it. But if you'll trust God and you'll do what God says to do, God will give you the power to get wealth. He'll empower you. He'll teach you to profit. He'll give you the power to get wealth. He'll lay it on. Now see, if you've got the power, you've got to use it. You've got to do something with it. But if He gives you the power, and He is, He will, He said He would, then go out and do something with it.
Amen.
Well, here's my talent, Lord. I just dug a hole in the ground and hid it because I was so afraid of you. Well, see, you didn't use it. He gave you something to go make something with, and that was a wicked and a slothful servant, Jesus said, because he didn't do anything with what Jesus gave him to do something with. And we have the ability to prosper where we are. Oh, I'm not saying we're all going to be millionaires and billionaires, but I'll tell you what, we can sure prosper where we are.
Right.
We can go to the next level.
Amen.
And then we can take that and go to the next level.
Amen.
You know, keep our hearts right, obey God, do what He says do, let Him bless us. As long as we're continually in debt and, man, just up against it, in hock, as it were, all those synonyms or whatever for being in debt, you know, we're limited in what we can do for God. We're limited in how much we can give, how many missions we can support. We're limited in how big Hallelujah Night can be.
That's right.
See, right now it's only about 4,000, but see, we can make it bigger.
Yeah.
Not that I really want to believe for that, but anyway, I do. But we want to provide things for youth also that night. Wouldn't that be nice to have a Christian band out there and just have the whole 45 acres just rocking for Jesus?
Amen?
Amen. I mean, we'd be rocking with the rock, the solid rock. Okay. So he says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he that gives you power to get wealth. Believe God to give you wisdom for your job. He teaches you to profit and to prosper. And if you hearken to his commandments, your peace and your prosperity will be like a flowing river. You ought to pray over your business. You ought to pray over the job you work on. You ought to pray over your savings or investments or whatever. If you don't have any, ask God to show you what to do and how to do that. There's lots of ways to do that. I'm not going to get up there and advise on stocks and real estate and all that. I mean, that's not my place. But you pray and ask God to give you wisdom concerning that. Amen. And he will teach you. He'll teach you to profit. First, you've got to get a grip on your finances. First, you've got to find out where you are. Learn to balance your checkbook and get a budget. Do, you know, find out where you are. And then from there, ask God to prosper you. Ask him to. He wants to. He delights in our prosperity. Psalms 35:27. He gives us the power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. You know, we talked the other night and went through the scripture from Genesis and just went through all of creation, how God made the birds and animals, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Told man, Adam and Eve, have dominion, subdue, conquer, be fruitful, be multiply. After the flood, he told the animals and the birds and the fish the same thing. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. He told Noah and his sons, be fruitful, multiply, be blessed, replenish the earth. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. He said, I'm going to bless you, and all nations of the earth are going to be blessing you, and I'm going to make a blessing out of you. And the Bible says he was very rich in gold and cattle and silver. He told Hagar, his maidservant, that he was going to bless her and he was going to multiply her and her children, which was Ishmael, as the seeds of the sand of the sea. And he did that. He told Isaac, he said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to multiply you. And he told Jacob and he told Joseph. And he said in Psalms 115, he says he would bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. And he'll bless those that fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord increase you more and more. God didn't change his mind. It's his covenant. It's his will. God wants everything God makes, he wants it to grow. Anything healthy grows. A tree just gets bigger and bigger. Plants grow, grow, grow. God made the earth. God made the plants. God made animals. Look at how they've multiplied. Look at mankind, how they've multiplied. God doesn't want us to go under. He wants us to go over. He doesn't want a church to stagnate, plateau, stay the same. He wants a church to grow and expand and increase. But see, it does that as we obey him, as we listen to him. He hasn't changed his mind. He gives us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And we are the ones that are going to make that happen. We're the ones he's going to flow through. We're the ones he's teaching. We're the ones he's given the power to. So we got to take it and do something with it, see? Not just pray it, not just say it, but go out and do something. Examine what we're doing. Examine our jobs. Examine our businesses. Examine our investments or whatever the case may be. And ask God to give us more wisdom. Refine that thing. Do better. We can all do better. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, I got so many places I want to go here concerning all this. Turn to turn to 2 Chronicles 1. 2 Chronicles. No. I'm sorry. Turn to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. We'll go there first. Psalms 1. Y'all excuse me for getting stirred up. I just get stirred up about God and about his word. And I hate the devil. You know, Dodie used to say that all the time, still does, Dodie Osteen. I remember when she'd pray with a prayer request. Of course, we came out of Lakewood Church and John Osteen was our pastor. And Dodie always prayed over the prayer request. And sometimes there'd be just a stack of them. You know, what we do with a prayer request card, we got that from Lakewood. Lakewood does that. Because they're not able to take prayer requests. Are you kidding? That many thousands of people? But what they'll do, they'll just take the cards. At that time, they would pray over them. Sometimes they have a stack like this. It was just amazing. Couldn't even read them all off. But she would take them and she would just go like this. Oh, someone here needs healing of cancer. Someone has a tumor here. And somebody, oh, a little child has Down syndrome. And oh, here's a marriage that needs a miracle. And oh, here's a financial miracle somebody needs. And she just started going. And she just stopped. She said, I just hate the devil. I just hate the devil. And what she was saying was she knew that wasn't God. That God wasn't behind all that. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to prosper you. But see, a lot of times we're messing up. Not all the time, but sometimes we're the problem. I think in finances, probably that is most of the time. We're the problem. I mean, sad but true. I mean, come on now. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm trying to help you. I'm helping me. We just hadn't got a grip on our finances. We hadn't been doing what God said to do. And we tithe, we give, but we're not handling our money like we should. Another thing Brother Wilson used to always say, it's not the amount of money that's the problem. It's the management of the money that gets us in trouble. And God has a lot to say about that. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to get in your thinking first, and that's what I've spent a lot of time on this the last few services. You've got to get in your thinking first, and you've got to root out of your thinking. First, get in your thinking, God wants to bless you. And you've got to root out of your thinking that God wants you poor. God does not want you poor. Now, I know there are imbalances there. I know there are people that are extreme in that area that go too far with prosperity. But I'm telling you, I don't think that's really the problem in the body of Christ. I think the problem is we've gone extreme with poverty. We tried to spiritualize and make it holy and make it something desirable, like it's something good to be poor. There's nothing good about being poor. We're supposed to help the poor. And if you've been poor, you know what I'm talking about. I've been poor, okay, and I don't like it. It limits my ability to minister. I spend most of my time trying to believe for my finances. Pray for you? Are you kidding? I'm spending all my time praying for me. Hello. So God wants to get you out of debt. He wants to get you out of debt, and you ought to have a goal to get there. Notice this, Psalms 1, still on the same lines of God teaching us a prophet. Blessed is the man. I have it amplified. Where is that? I got some with bigger letters. Thank you. Would you turn to Psalms 1? I'll go ahead and read this. Psalms 1 in King James says, New King James, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not listening to the ungodly or to the wicked. Nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that? Why is it whatever he does will prosper? Well, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He's listening to what God's saying. He's taking the teaching. God's teaching us to profit. He gives us the power to get wealth. Here, by not listening to ungodly people, but listening to God, what happens? Whatever we do prospers. But it comes through the teaching. And I can't impress this upon us enough. It comes through what we do. If we don't change what we're doing, we're not going to get a different result. We can't just abstractly say, well, I'm believing God to prosper me. Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing to prosper then? What is it that he's told you? What is it that you've changed that's going to bring this prosperity? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, because really we often say, I've got a vision. Yeah, but do you have a plan? I want to give $1 million to missions. Who wouldn't want to give $1 million to missions? As a Christian, wouldn't you like to give $1 million to missions? All right. What you ought to be praying is not, Lord, give me $1 million to give to missions. Lord, how can I make $1 million to give to missions? I just use it as an example. I'm not saying all of us are going to start believing for that. But I'm just saying you have to pray, God, show me how to make that happen. Show me what you want me to do to make it work. Getting quiet in this church now. Come on. I know this is not hooping and hollering and shouting me because I'm talking about work now. Oh, boy. Four-letter word, work. No, you need to work and I need to work. Budget. Ooh, there's a big word, not four letters, but it's worse than a lot of four-letter words. Some households. Woo-hoo, we don't use budget. They just don't work. I hear people say, they just don't work. Oh, are you kidding? You just don't work them. Hello? Yeah. You know the old saying, all liars can figure, but figures can't lie. You got to chew on that one. The budget's just the figures. It's just the facts. It's not, you know, what do you mean it doesn't work? Of course it works. You're just not working it. Amplified. Let me read this in Amplified. You're going to love this. Hallelujah. Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following the advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, you know, armchair quarterback, you know, couch potato, you know how. Okay. Ooh. Where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. That's good, isn't it? And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe it.
Amen.
But it comes from listening to what God is saying and taking the instruction and doing something with it. It comes from action, from acting. See, the Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So, yes, we believe in tithe. Yes, we believe in giving. I'm going to teach on that in this series. We're going to talk about tithing and giving. But tithing and giving won't get you out of debt if you don't obey God with the rest of the money. Tithing and giving gets the blessing of God on what you do. It puts the blessing on your business. It puts the blessing on your job. It puts the blessing on your income or your investments or whatever. And you need it. You've got to tithe. You've got to give, because that's going to cause the windows of heaven to open up and the blessings are going to be poured out. But on what you do. See, on what you do. So it all comes down to what you do. It still comes down to what you do by obeying God in areas. You know, I tell people, a lot of people think they're living by faith and they only have a job. I'm not talking to retired people. I understand that you've worked and you've got retirement and investments and so on and so forth. But to live by faith is to not live without a job. You know, let me define faith for you. Faith is to obey God.
Right.
Simply put, it's obeying. It's trusting God and obeying God. It's doing what God says to do.
Amen.
That's what faith is. If God says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And he does say that, incidentally. Lost a bunch of you then. If he doesn't work, he doesn't eat, then are we supposed to feed people that are able to go to work and don't go get a job? No, we're not. We're not supposed to do that. I don't mind helping people get fall on bad times. We've all fallen on hard times. Are you with me? But we don't. You don't take up, churches are not supposed to take on projects to feed people that will not go to work.
Amen.
That's not right. That's not Christian. That is not Christian to do that. It's wrong for us to do that. We should help them, but we should help them get a job. And you know, in this church, many times we've had prayer requests turned in for people believing for a job, going on interviews. My goodness, that's wonderful. That's what we want. Let's believe for favor. Let's go find us a job. Let's believe God to give us a job, get us a job. But let's put our feet to the prayers, and on Monday morning show up at those places, knock on those doors, talk to those managers and those owners, and fill out applications and interviews, and keep doing it till we get a job.
Amen.
Make a job out of finding a job. And you know what that is? According to Scripture now, according to the Bible, that is living by faith. That's the biblical description of that. I know in our thinking, we think someone who lives by faith is a full-time minister. Well, we're all full-time ministers. I'm a Christian 24 hours a day. Aren't you? On my job, I'm a minister. You know, on your job, you're a minister. You're a light shining. I hope you're not a Christian just when you come to church here. And then you take off your Christian suit and walk out the door. Oh, no, no, no. We're Christian 24 hours a day, see. And working is a spiritual thing. It's a good thing. The Bible talks about work over and over and over. The first man and woman had a job to till and to keep and cultivate the garden. That was their job, and it was a good thing. Nothing wrong with that at all. So what we're talking about is obeying the principles of God here and letting God prosper us, and He will. Joshua 1. Okay, I'm trying to close this out. It'll be a few minutes. But is this helping anybody? Now, I'm just kicking out some cobwebs. We haven't got a lot of specifics yet. I've thrown a lot of stuff out, but this is good nonetheless. I think it's something that hadn't been mentioned in church. It's almost taboo in some church. You don't want to mention money. Don't talk about money. Oh, goodness. The Bible's filled with scriptures concerning money. Just literally filled with scriptures concerning money and prosperity and blessing. But God is not goofy. He's very practical, and He's the God of order, not of confusion. And there are ways this happens. Hello. And prosperity doesn't just fall out of heaven. It comes as you begin to obey God. Thank God for your job. Amen. Thank God for your business. Pray over your job. Pray over your business. Get there. Let me tell you something. If you're working on a job, get there on time. Don't show up late and start telling everybody about Jesus. Well, I'm just witnessing on my job. Yeah, but you're living your life so loud they can't hear what you're saying. I just figured people would be falling out of chairs. The Holy Ghost would be so strong with this message. and the anointing would just be so strong, people would just fall down at you. No, you show up on time. See, the Christian thing to do on a job is to be the best worker on that job. The Christian thing to do on a job is to show up early, stay late, and do the best you can. Go the second mile. Hello. That's the Christian thing to do, see. And that's how you get promotions and raises and so on and so forth. And you know what? God will do that for you, and He still gets the glory, but He used you to get it. He used you to get that promotion. He used you to get that advancement and so on and so forth. You know, we live in a real, real selfish society where everybody's just looking out for themselves. I mean, there's somebody that's got a business there that has got a vision, that has put a lot of their time and effort and money in that, and thank God has grown to a point where they provided some jobs. You know, why is it where everybody's against big business and everybody's against big companies? If we didn't have them, you wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't have a job. Thank God somebody went out there and went after the dream. And pay the price and put themselves in a sacrifice their time and effort, built that thing. Now they're providing jobs for the community and people have places to work. We ought to go there to support that work. If we hire on with them, they're paying our salary. They're giving us money to do a job. They don't have to do that. You ought to be praying for them, praying for that business. You ought to be behind that business. You ought to be happy, excited about going to work. Get there on time, early. And stay late if you have to, and make that thing happen.
Amen.
Join up with their vision and make it happen. And when you do that, you know what? That boss is going to see that, and they're going to start promoting you and giving you more authority and giving you more raises.
Right. Amen.
Hello? That's the Christian thing to do. I just want to help you. Joshua 1:7, real familiar. Only be strong, very courageous. That you may, Joshua 1, verse 7, be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Why would God want us to obey Him? Because He wants to bless us. And He knows if we don't obey Him, we're not going to be blessed. Our kids many times question a lot of things we say. Why is that? Because they don't understand that we're looking out for their best interest. Especially when they're growing up, certain friends we don't want them to hang around with, certain things we don't want them to do. And they'll say, well, hey, everybody else does it. How come I can't do it? So-and-so's parents let them do it. How come you don't let me do it? You don't love me. No, honey, I love you too much. Hello? I love you, and if you obey me, it'll help you, it'll bless you. That's going to hurt you, and that's why I don't want you to do it. And I'm trying to help you. And God's trying to help us, see? When He says these things, we don't always like to do the things He says, but you know what? If we'll do them, He'll bless us. Because it's the best thing for us. Daddy knows best. Amen? Eighth verse, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Day and night. Why would you do that? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Because if you stay in it, you'll do it. If you meditate in it, you'll do it. If you say it over and over and over, you'll wind up doing it. And you know what happens if you do it? Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I think it's interesting that He says you will make your way prosperous. You determine your destiny. You determine your financial outcome, your portfolio as it is, where you are financially speaking. You make that decision. You're the ones that determine that. And you do it on good information with good advice. And the good information, the good advice is God's information and God's advice. If you align your life out with God's Word, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen. And don't be deceived now. Don't just take part of it, because I think that's what a lot of the body of Christ has done. I've been guilty of it. You know, I've been guilty of just taking one section of God's Word and just, you know, and when you talk about finances, that's a big section. That's not just tithes. We feel like we've done our duty when we tithed. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something. You need tithe. I'm going to teach on that. And we've given. You need to give, too. You ought to give above your tithe. I don't think you ought to stop with the tithe. I think that ought to just be a starting point. That should be kind of like a minimum, you know. You ought to just start increasing that as God blesses you. Wouldn't you like to give 90% of your money and just live off 10?
Amen.
Who wouldn't love to do that? See, it's not about you just get more stuff. I'm not even interested in that. I just want to give more money.
Amen.
You know, as our church is prospering, we just give more money.
Right.
And amazingly, we got more stuff, but we didn't go after the stuff. We just went after giving more money. And the stuff came along. But here's the point. I want to give more money. I want to tithe, sure, and I want to give. But in so doing, God gives me wisdom to do other things to make money. And that's what God does with us. He blesses our jobs and he blesses our business. So don't just stop with the tithe, stop with the giving. Let's look at the Bible and see what it says about all these other areas. I mentioned several. I've mentioned working. I've mentioned budgeting. I've mentioned cosigning. I've mentioned investing. I've mentioned all these things. And we'll try to take these apart and spend a little more time on each one. Now, I'm not going to get into details. We're not going to do that because the Bible doesn't address a lot of things. You know, it doesn't tell you to buy, you know, get highly vested in Coca-Cola. They're going to, you know, that company's really going to make a lot of money, you know, or Sears. Or, you know, he's not going to tell you that. Stay with me. But he'll give you wisdom to, if you want to go that route, to know how to examine that. He'll give you wisdom to, if you want to sell real estate, or you want to fix up a car and resell the car. Hello. Or if you want to just bake pies and sell them. You know, Agnes, Gene Lipsy's sister-in-law, Agnes, used to make, of course, she's in heaven now, she used to make these little pies and sell them all around town. Yeah. How many of y'all eaten some of those pies? They were great. Man, that's wonderful. Little fried pies, you know. Yeah. I thought, well, that's neat. What a neat idea. She had a little income from that. That was a God idea. God gives you knowledge of witty inventions. But if you're not even thinking that way, you know, if you're just locked in what you're doing, you're not going to make any changes. If you're going to keep doing what you're going to do, you're going to keep getting what you got.
Amen.
If you want to raise the bar, you say, I wish I could give more money. Start asking God how you can make more money to give more money.
Amen.
I just got a vision. That's great. You got a plan? Well, plans one, vision one thing, plans another. And what we get through here is God's plans. We get in His Word, and then we begin to implement it, and then we make a way prosperous, and then we have good success.